I'd like to discuss something that's been in the news a lot, and it's the hashtag MeToo movement. So what I'd like to do is briefly talk about the background of the movement, the current status, and then spend a majority of the time on responses from Christian women. So this is going to be a little bit different for me. I feel like it's important to let women have their say in this rather than me as an outsider giving my perspective. So I've got five Christian women who are going to be talking about Me Too and the whole aspect of women and the church. So what's the background of this movement? Well, it was actually started by an activist, Tarana, I think that's the way she pronounced her name, Tarana Burke, in 2007. She set up something called Just Be Incorporated to help sex victims, and she called it Me Too. Then years went by, and a couple years back, 2017, Alyssa Milano promoted it and turned it into hashtag Me Too. And that became so big, it was shared more than 12 million posts and reactions in the first 24 hours after she posted it. So it, like wildfire, just spread across the nation. Somebody else who's been active in this is April Reign, R-E-I-G-N. She's a digital media strategist, and you might be familiar with her because in 2015 she set up hashtag OscarSoWhite. And then a couple of years after that, 2017, she set up hashtag WOC Affirmation. Well, the WOC stood for Women of Color, so she wanted it to expand for the minorities that have experienced difficulties as women, so blacks, Latinas, and others. And of course, we're familiar with a lot of names who've been accused. It's not necessarily to say they're all guilty, but plenty of people in politics and television and movies have been accused of inappropriate behavior. Well, what brought this change? Why has this become such a big issue in America just in the last couple of years? Well, one thing that's made a big difference is the rise of feminism. Secondly would be the internet. Pretty obvious, you can get your word out and people can share ideas so much more quickly than they used to be able to. And then other people say it's the fact that women now are finally getting into positions of power and can now share their stories and have people pay attention to them. So they're heading up corporations now and finally having the word get out. The Me Too movement, of course, one of the recent events that caused it all to come to a head and have a lot of people paying attention to the recent Kavanaugh hearings for the Supreme Court. And a recent poll I found really fascinating. A poll of all Americans said 87% favor zero tolerance of sexual harassment. But that just seems so weird to me. Why isn't that 100%? 87% favored zero tolerance of sexual harassment. That means there's still over 10% that have some kind of restrictions or hesitation about saying no, there should be no tolerance of sexual harassment. Anyway, it's you can't get 100% of the people to agree that the sun is shining. What I want to do now for the heart of this presentation is to have you hear from five Christian women. First is Hannah Harum, H-E-R-U-M, Beth Moore, very well known, does a lot of articles and books and presentations. Third one is Hannah Anderson. Fourth one is Jen Pollock. I don't know if she pronounces her last name Michelle or Michael. It's J-E-N, and then her middle name or her maiden name, P-O-L-O-C-K. The last name is M-I-C-H-E-L. The last one is Beth Backes, B-A-C-K-E-S. And I'll tell more about where you can find their material at the end of the presentation. So let's hear from Hannah Harum, first of all. She tells a story about William Wilberforce, who eventually outlawed slavery in England. And he took a group of people on board a slave ship for the first time, and they were gagging and retching and having all sorts of difficulty breathing as they encountered the awful conditions that these slaves were put in as they were transported. And he said, after today, you may never again say that you did not know. And she applied that to the whole sexual harassment issue that nobody can say anymore, gee, I didn't know about that. And she said it ought to change us to know that the majority of women that we encounter have experienced some sort of sexual violation. This is not done by a few against a few, that the majority of women that we encounter have had some kind of sexual violation. She says we need to be better friends, fierce advocates, and better listeners. In fact, she quoted a counselor who wryly said this, you know, we wouldn't need counselors if we had real friends. I like us to think about that. We wouldn't need counselors if we had real friends. Good point. All right, so that was person number one, Christian woman number two, Beth Moore. She's experienced all sorts of demeaning moments that she talks about. For example, one time she came and was introduced to a theologian that she's not going to name for obvious reasons here. And she was at some kind of speaking event, and the theologian, male, said to her, you're better looking than, and named the other person, who is another woman Bible teacher, you're better looking than this other woman. That's what he could think of to say to her. Amazing. She says, this is a direct quote, Scripture was not the reason for the colossal disregard and disrespect of women among many men. It was only the excuse. Sin was the reason, ungodliness. And I'd like to mention that or just talk about that for just a second here. So she says, you cannot use Scripture to disrespect women. Now, I think that's important. I do a talk about misconceptions about Christianity. And Christianity, if you look at the Bible, and you look at Jesus, you look at the early leaders, they respected women. It was a big jump from the secular culture of the time. She says, so therefore she's saying, it's not the Bible that's the problem, it's sin. She said we need to be aware of skewed attitudes that women encounter. That's the first step. We need to be aware of it. She said we also need to be aware of how Jesus interacted with women and the role of women in the New Testament. And that, again, I would refer you to some of the historical talks that I've done about the history of Christianity. She said we should have no tolerance for misogyny and dismissiveness toward women. Now, this seems obvious to me, but apparently it's not. She has to say things like this. She also said we all need to ask for forgiveness. All right, third person, Hannah Anderson, H-A-N-N-A-H, and then just A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. She says, we affirm female strength. Well, we're seeing it in movies, we're seeing it on television. But she says, here's the deal. We need to recognize that these women can have strength, but they're also vulnerable. There are physical differences between the sexes. And if we overlook the power differential that can come about, it can lead people to judge women as being complicit in their own harassment. And she says, that's wrong. We should never have them as complicit in their own harassment, that somehow it's their fault. She said men need to guard women. That sounds like an old-fashioned idea, but she says men need to guard women, to reject locker room talk, to stop stereotyping, to make sure women are heard when they speak up, to help stop men who are preying on women. So it's up to men to be doing these kinds of things. She said we need to teach our boys and our girls two different things. We need to teach our boys that women are brave, but they're vulnerable in different ways, and we need to use, I'm talking about the men here, talking to their boys, that we need to use strength to care for these women. Well, what should we teach daughters, according to Hannah? That daughters face a unique set of dangers as they grow up. And she needs to know if a problem comes up, it wasn't her fault. It's a problem with the world, not her womanhood. And I thought this was an interesting way for her to end her discussion. She said, Christians know the world is broken, but God is actively redeeming it. So there's this tension between, it's a dangerous world. Yes, it is, because it's a broken world, but we can make it better. God is actively redeeming it. So there's the negative and the positive message there. All right, here's author number four, Jen Pollock Michael or Michelle. She says, over and over again, we see God in Scripture being outraged over violence against women. And she says the hashtag Me Too has pushed the church to consider righteous anger. There's such a thing as righteous anger, she says, and justice and forgiveness when it comes to sexual violence. She gives an example, by the way, that was astounding. She said her job, a publisher had given her an older devotional Bible and asked her to update it. And she said a section of the Bible talked about, remember this is an older edition, but it talked about date rape. and asked the woman to consider her culpability, how she led to it, it's her fault, described the perpetrator's quote-unquote behavior, not his crime, didn't tell the woman to report it or to seek justice. In fact, it told the woman who read this Bible to forgive and move on. So this is the advice Christian people were giving in a devotional Bible that's thankfully now out of date. She said, if you look in Scripture, over and over in the Psalms, for example, it tells us it's okay to cry out for justice. And she references Psalm 94:3, which you can take a look at sometime. She says the cross, Jesus on the cross, shows God's righteous judgment of sin. He is there identifying with both victim and perpetrator. She says forgiveness doesn't preclude seeking justice. I think that's an excellent point. Forgiving doesn't mean you walk away and let the person go free for what they've done. She gave an example of South Africa. She said forgiveness commits us to truth-telling and moral reparation. That's, of course, apartheid in South Africa that she's referring to. She believes we need forums for men to attend, to see the harm they've done, to name it rightly, to accept culpability, and commit to redeeming the work of healing. So she says God, if we look at God through the bringing of Jesus into the world and his death and resurrection, he combined justice with mercy. Somebody was punished, but then mercy came about as a result. All right, the last woman author I wanted to look at, Beth Bakkes, B-A-C-K-E-S, says the church has a responsibility to acknowledge this issue. We need to ensure that our church, wherever we are, is a safe place for everyone. And we need to provide adequate care for any victims of sexual harassment. And like the others, she says we need to stop perpetrators and help bring them to justice. And she has an acronym, ACT, that she is going to say these are the kinds of things that we should be doing. And I think it's important, instead of just kind of talking in vague generalities, she says, here's some action steps that we can take. So ACT, A-C-T. So here's the letter A. Acknowledge the problem. First step, acknowledge it. Realize that every congregation has victims and maybe perpetrators. We shouldn't be blaming the victims. In the church circles, we should be talking about unhealthy sexual behaviors. We should recognize the link between online porn addiction and sexual crimes against women. There are programs, she says, that are available to help. One is called Pure Desire. So act. Acknowledge the problem. The C is for create safe environments. So we need to have something in place, in writing, to ensure that people will be all right, to have policies and procedures so that everybody will be safe at the church. For example, she says we need sexual harassment training, designated reporting policies, victims advocates to receive reports of sexual assault, counseling resources, policies that spell out clear consequences for perpetrators, things like physical things we could do in the church to provide windows and video cameras on campus. So C is create safe environment. And then the T, take care of victims. We need to set up advocates so women know where to turn in the church, to have support groups with trained leaders. Maintain a list of professional counselors. So I really like what she has to say there. ACT, acknowledge the problem, create your church as a safe environment, and take care of any victims. She ends by talking about Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. Well, I read some other articles that talk about some just general steps that we can take too. One is to teach good behavior to boys and girls, to investigate where our kids spend their time, to tell our kids, emphasize that we will believe them even if the accusation involves family members, and making sure, and I think this is just so crucial, to have good communication in our families. We should be explaining proper boundaries for our kids and others who interact with them. Encourage ways for kids to contact us, maybe it's a cell phone or whatever, and help them be aware of their circumstances, the surroundings, and who's there. So this is just a brief tour through an incredibly emotional area, this Me Too movement. And let me leave you with the five authors, and I'll leave you with a couple of other hashtag movements that you can go to. So Beth Moore, if you want to look at her article where I got my information. It's called A Letter to My Brothers. Beth Moore, A Letter to My Brothers. Hannah Harum, I got her information from another article, Christians Must Engage the Hashtag Me Too Movement. All right, so one more time. Christians Must Engage the Hashtag Me Too Movement. Jen Pollock Michael, or Michelle, God's Message to Hashtag Me Too Victims and Perpetrators. Hen Anderson, The Unsettling Truth Behind the Hashtag Me Too Movement. Beth Bakkes, Three Changes We Must Make Now. And of course, she's the one that did the ACT thing. And then if you want to see what's going on, people have been encouraged by the hashtag Me Too to set up things like that within the church among Christian women. So there's one called hashtag Church 2. Hashtag Church 2. There's a second one called hashtag Silence Is Not Spiritual. Silence Is Not Spiritual. So I'm hoping that either the articles or these other hashtag movements will inspire church women to do something proactive and challenge the men to get involved and make sure the church is a safe place for women, and then to make sure society itself is safe for all women.